We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew. We come today to chapter 19. We'll begin at verse 16 and we'll read to the end of the chapter at verse 30. And here we have the very significant meeting between Jesus and the only man in all the Gospels who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeks him out, and asks how to be saved. The very thing the Bible would call us to do. His name is the rich young ruler. And there is a catch, however. If you read in verse 16, he comes to Jesus, he acknowledges who he is, and he says, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Now there's the catch. I hope you noticed it. He wants a work to do. He wants a good deed by which he can commend himself to God for justification. And Jesus gives him the answer, well, if under those terms, all you must do is perfectly keep the law of God. Now, you don't quite know how to read it. I choose to believe that he's not arrogant, but he's actually extraordinarily morally upright. Because he says to Jesus, "I have kept all these things from my youth." Because he says to Jesus, "Which commandment should I keep?" And Jesus reads to him the second tablet of the law. Love for man. You should not murder. And that includes hatred, you know. Adultery, moral purity, sexual purity. You shall not steal, bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, by the way, Jesus is not negating the first tablet of the law, which is about love for God. He's just showing him the second tablet of the law. And the man says, "I've done this all my life from my youth." And Jesus says to him, "Well, then if you would be perfect, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Now, let me say, Jesus is not establishing a work by which you must be saved, which means selling your house, all your possessions, emptying your accounts, and giving it immediately to the poor. No, he's ministering to this man, and he's doing so, now he's doing so by reference to the first table of the law. "You shall have no other gods before me." And he knows the heart. Jesus reads the heart. And he understands that this man has great possessions and he loves them. And he is not trying to deny the man salvation. He's merely answering his desire to be saved by his works. And the man, verse 22, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What a thing that is. This man who sought out the Lord Jesus Christ understood who he was. Believed in him, in at least that outward sense. But when it came to his possessions, oh, how many are like him? He would not yield them to God. He held them before God. And Jesus had the need to expose this to him. And then he comments to his disciples, "I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Now, it is not possible for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle. By the way, the eye of the needle almost certainly was a small hole they had in their walls that were not large enough for someone to go through. They pass goods through the eye of the needle, and a camel can't make it through there. You can try, you can shove. He can't make it. Now, what a statement that is, because he's not singling out the wealthiest among us. Because in this gathering, I dare say, looking around, almost everyone in this room is probably in the upper 1-2% of world history in terms of riches. And he's pointing out that the condition of our depravity, that if it comes to our willingness to place God ahead of possessions, in our sinful nature, we do not possess the ability to do it. And the disciples are astonished. They said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus says these great words, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, one thing is being said there. We're pointing out that Jesus is not only not teaching salvation by works, he's destroying salvation by works in this passage. But it remains the case that a born-again believer, one who's truly been saved, one in whom the Holy Spirit lives, yes, you, if it comes down to your choice, the real choice between your money, your possessions, and Christ, you will choose Christ. And if you don't, that means that you're not saved. God does the miracle of grace. He gives us new hearts. And to follow Christ will mean, and you know this, you're going to give things up. There's a life you might have had And in the flesh, it would seem like a great life, but you will not have. You don't want that life anymore. You can't, even though part of you does, you can't like it. And you give up family. You give up living near your family. You give up a career choice. You embrace burdens. You share the gospel, and you take all that risk. And that's what the Peter goes in and says, see, we've left everything and followed you. Maybe you felt that way. Lord, I have followed you. What do I get? Well, Jesus answers wonderfully, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who followed me will sit on your thrones. The church is the bride of Christ. Oh, we will merely sit on the throne of eternity with the Son of God. But then he makes a statement that even in this life, we are abundantly compensated for every loss we have. Everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold. He's talking about in this life, the life of the church, and the church is imperfect. The church hurts us, but we have real fellowship. We have blessings in this world that we could not have had apart from Christ. But then these words, let us not forget them, and you will inherit eternal life. Well, there's the rub. Oh, never count yourself having lost out for the pains of following the Lord Jesus. By the grace of his Spirit, God has done in a believer's life the impossible. We place him first, and we count him the greatest gain. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left homes, houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.